Good morning. I've got some things I can talk about that are kind of just reminders of things that we probably should know or probably usually do know. But it never hurts to have a reminder. But I believe he's wanting to stir the church in a way she can begin to demonstrate her power. Because, see, that's what's not happening right now. One of the visions I can recall was a moment in time where I stepped into this place of an absolute total unity with God. And it was just by a vision, and it was for half an hour, I don't know, it wasn't long. In this moment, I began to see the victory of the Lord in a way that it was almost more than I could comprehend. But it came in the totality of unity. We were on a mountaintop, and as I looked out over the mountain, I saw the sea of glass, and I saw the flames upon it, and I saw the army of the Lord come up out of the sea of glass and up onto this mountain as they came by. I knew where my place was in this line as it began to come by me. I knew where I was supposed to be. And when I began to join into my place in that line, I began to understand and feel the very command of the Lord. And how everyone in this line was in complete and utter communication with the Lord, with the Father. And how there was such a unity that even the heartbeats were the same. Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. From the beginning to the end of the line. And you could sense it, you knew it. And even though we could have communication with one another, everyone, instead of having to report to the general and the general reports to somebody else, all this line of communication, everyone also had the communication directly to the Father. And in that place of that tremendous communication, when everybody knew their place and knew what they were supposed to do, and they were not just in lockstep, but in heartbeat, as we went through this valley where the enemy had laid a trap, instead of the enemy being a win, it was nothing but the Lord's victory. Because everyone knew where they were. Everyone knew their place. And the authority of the Lord was demonstrated from the front to the back. It was so intense, the understanding of how pervasively strong this was so intense that I actually, for a few moments, felt bad for the enemy because he had no chance. And see, this is a day and hour when God is looking to demonstrate to the world His church. This last week we had a terrible tragedy. Can't even truly comprehend the evil that was in somebody's heart to do this, to take 20 children's lives. But see, what we have to recognize is that it's the failure of the church that's allowed this. Because if the church has been doing what we're supposed to be doing, then the righteousness of God and the values of God would be demonstrated in America in such a way that this would be very unlikely to happen. If we were extending the covering over these children the way we're supposed to, if we were extending an understanding of who we are in Christ the way we're supposed to, these things can't happen. In our generations, of everyone who's sitting in here, those things didn't happen. It's time for the church to assume who she is It's time for the church to begin to stand up and recognize the authority in her prayer. See, it's very easy for us to underestimate the power of our prayer. And so, because we underestimate it, we don't apply it in the way we should. We don't cover the way we should. And when your children go out for the day, they should be covered in prayer. When those who are around us go out, we should be covering them in prayer. And I'm not meaning that you have to spend all day on your knees for that moment, but you have to acknowledge God and place them in His hand and allow Him to be the covering over them wherever they're going. And allow and expect that there's going to be a response to that. Because it's not so much sometimes in the words as it is in the expectation that goes with. We've been talking recently about pathways of thought. About the pathways of our thought and how do we begin to change those things. How we begin to recognize those things that lead to life and recognize those things that don't lead to life. How to begin allowing the Lord to make a change in our pathways of thought so that the pathways that were leading to death can now become pathways to take us to life. And the pathways of our thought are important because, see, inevitably the pathways of our thought become words that come out of our heart. Go to Luke 6. See, some of this is coming up for me personally. Because sometimes, I think I explained a little bit of this last week, but sometimes we try to address spiritual situations in the natural. And you'll never find anything but frustration and failure there. We have to begin to recognize and speak to those things that are around us and recognize that the circumstance that is there is not just a matter of the physical elements. But we've got to recognize what is spirit and speak to it. For me, you know, our son moved back in with us for a small season here. And part of this is so we can have some accountability and get some things accomplished. But see, in that is a very large temptation to begin to try to address those things in the natural. Why? Because you see it and you can put your hand to it. You can control it to a certain degree, or you can try. But see, that never changes it. Only the life of the Spirit is going to change those things. Because you can't change someone from the outside in, you got to change them from the inside out. And that's only going to happen as you begin to call forth and speak out that which is not as though it was. And begin to speak into those circumstances until they begin to change. A lot of times, we're not so much the victim of our circumstances as we are the creator of it. I'll let that one sink in for just a moment. But in this thing, I began to see that the more I continue to try to address it in the natural, the further away from the result that I'm looking for that I got. So when I began to look and hold it in the Spirit and just begin to saying, you know what, I'm going to quit responding at all. Every time I see something that doesn't line up, I just begin to speak into it in the Spirit. The more that I've addressed it in the Spirit, the more that it's changed. See, there's nothing about acknowledging the present circumstance that changes it. The more you acknowledge the present circumstance, the more you cause it to come to pass. Because what you're doing is you're giving voice to the things that already are. And your voice is a very powerful tool. As I began to just stop saying those things and just begin to hold up in prayer. Now I'm cutting off the acknowledgement of what is. And I'm beginning to call forth and recognize what should be. And the more I do that, the more it changes. So anyway, that's how we got here to this today. Luke 6:43. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick up grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks that which fills his heart. This is the source. What fills your heart is the source of what changes the circumstances around us. See, that word there, it says treasures, actually translates into this word, deposits. The deposits of your heart. So out of the sum total of the deposits that you've made into your heart comes the response or the reaction that comes out of your mouth. So the deposits that we make, when we begin to align our confession with the Word, now we're making deposits of truth. And as we make deposits of truth, that truth is the thing that begins to rise up and be recognized and be broadcast by your mouth. You know, we've talked about confession a number of different times over the years. I mean, the more that we align our confession with the Word, because why? The things that we hear are the things that build faith. The more that we speak the Word of God, the more that we speak those things, and the more we can have faith in what this Word is, the more we can have faith in what it's doing, and the more we can have faith in the thing that you actually say, even though you may not ever see it. Many of the prophets of old had to speak of a day that was coming and they never got to see it. We have the privilege of seeing the fruit of their labor to give us a base and an understanding from which to begin to prophesy into our situation. And as we begin to prophesy into our situation, then our situation too can begin to change. It can begin to line up with the truth that is in the Word. In John 8, where he says, you'll know the truth shall set you free. He's not just talking about some piece of fact. He's talking about if you'll know Christ, Christ will set you free. When we begin to speak that which lines up with who Christ is, when we speak that which lines up with who the Father is, now all of a sudden we can put them into action on our behalf. It releases a deposit of truth. Proverbs 18:21 tells us this, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. The words that we speak are either adding to the life or adding to the death. And we could put Max Factor out of business if we just started speaking life over ourselves. Think about it. I think that's a good goal. See, let's just see if we can do our part and put him out of business. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So let's not underestimate the power of our prayer. Let's not forget the power of what God can do in us through a simple word. What He can do for our circumstance. Let's not underestimate where God is taking us through our prayer. You know, sometimes you get to a place of disappointed faith because maybe you've looked for something, you've spoken into something, and it didn't change. But see, that only happens when we begin to underestimate the power of that prayer. I've told you this one before, but this power of your prayer over even just a simple prayer, God is looking for it and acknowledging it. There was a lady who came and she worked for me. She was standing in my office. And as she was standing in my office at the office door, she told me she was going to the doctor and that she was dealing with lupus. Lupus is an autoimmune disease where your system begins to attack itself and it degenerates and degenerates until more death. So I spoke one of those casual prayers that you did. I didn't even get up off from my desk. I just waved at her at standing in the doorway and said, you know, in Jesus' name, be healed, be whole, be well, and go with God. When she got to the doctor's office, they ran some tests, and they came back to her and said, what's the deal here? Because either the charts got mixed up or you're not that person. That was her response. Now, the interesting thing was that she didn't tell me this for 2 years. So I didn't know anything about it. I just totally forgot about it until she told me about it. But anyway, I don't know why people do that. To me, I would be excited and saying, hey! Don't underestimate the power of your prayer. How many of you were Catholics? I know of a gentleman that some Catholic nuns interfaced with his life. See, he was in Vegas, and in Vegas, he started gambling one night at about 8 o'clock. And sat at the same table, he walked around and spotted the table and sat at the same table and began to play all night. And as he played, I think it was something like 27 or 28 rum and cokes were consumed. Lots of money went out this way and that way for people who were bringing stuff to him because he didn't want to get away from the table. Just generally being obnoxious. And then came that moment. It was about 8:15 in the morning. 12 hours sitting in one place. And 8:15 in the morning, he gets a pair of eights. Now see, when you get a pair of eights and the dealer has a 10 card showing, that's not a good thing. But because he'd been winning, he thought, you know, the only way to deal with this is just to divide them up. You split them. So he split them, and then he got another eight. Then he took that in and he said, okay, then just keep going, get another eight. He's got almost all of his earnings for the whole night on the table at one time. And the dealer's got 10 cards showing. I think in that he manages to draw some threes and some aces and things like that and manages to get into the place where he's got one of them just sitting on a 17, one of them sitting on a 19, and one of them sitting on a 21, and one the other, anyway, so we wind up with just a handful of things that were out there. The dealer flips over a 9, and so one's a push, one's a loss, one's the win, and he manages to get out of there. But it causes, the adrenaline causes him to look up and realize. It's 8:30. The plane leaves at 9:30. And he still had to go back and pack. And then get to the airport. And he gets to the airport and he gets on the plane and he's jumping on this plane and as you can imagine, very disheveled, having not washed or bathed or anything else and just reeking of alcohol. And there's two nuns sitting on the plane. One's got the window, one's got the aisle. And guess where his seat is? In between. the two nuns see this man in his sorry plight, and he's pretty much oblivious, and so he just gets in, sits down, and passes out. But the nuns begin praying. And see, I'm here to tell you that that prayer was effective, because that was me. You never can underestimate the power of a prayer, because that was just a month or two before I came to salvation. Don't underestimate the power of a prayer. In John 11, when Jesus prayed, in John 11, what did he have to say? He said, "Lazarus, come forth." Because if he had said, "Just come forth," there would have been hundreds and thousands of people coming forth. Because the power of his word was such that it demanded that life come back into where there was death. So he had to say, "Lazarus, come forth." Because of the power of his word. See, that's the same power that he's been given to you. The centurion understood the power. We talked about that last week. When the centurion just said, just simply say the word. Because I know that if you say the word, the authority goes with your word. And that's the same authority he's given into our word. When we'll begin to believe it, we'll begin to hold on to it and begin to allow it to happen. Then God just says, just say the word. How long are you going to put up with it? Just say the word. What's his name's daughter? Had some kind of skin disease all over her. And she had it for years. And this is a man, he was known for his healing revivals. He was praying healing all over the place. And as he did so, he would pray over the daughter, but he would never actually just quite get there because she stayed in the same unhealed state. And finally, one day he's crying out to the Lord, and the Lord said, "How long are you going to put up with it? How long are you going to put up with it?" He said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "I've given you authority, take it." And he changed his prayer. And he stood in authority. As he began to stand in authority, the healing came quickly. There's an authority that God has given to us. The same authority he placed in the words is the same authority that's available in the words to us today. When we began to stand in faith and began to recognize that what God is doing is he's making us to begin to look and act like him in those realms. We don't have to be a victim of our circumstance. Now we can begin to speak forth and call it forth and make it to what it's supposed to be. To speak truth into it. To speak love into it. To speak life into it. See, in our frustration, we want to begin to speak and add our agreement to what already is. But see, there's nothing that's going to change that way. It only changes when we begin to speak to it and tell it what it's going to be. Especially in situations you have authority over, you can speak into that because you can stand in that authority. Stand in that authority. Don't just beg God. Speak over to the situation and tell it what's going to happen because God is with you. He's not looking for somebody to beg him. He's looking for somebody to stand with him. When Moses was standing at the Red Sea with all of Egypt at his back and coming, what the Lord said, "Why are you crying out to me? Wave your hand and speak to that water. Raise the staff over it. I've given you the power." Begin to release what God is putting in you. Because as you begin to release it, faith has a place to begin to be birthed. It's good for us to carry and gestate this faith, but sometimes we have to release it. We have to let it go. So it can become full and mature. Just say the word. Just say the word. As we add ourselves to the situation, we can say the word. Go to Mark 11 for me for just a second. I know you guys know this scripture. Mark 11, verse 12. And on the next day, when they had departed from Bethany, he became hungry. And seeing that at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it is not the season for figs. And he answered and said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. Okay. Skip down to verse 20. And they were passing by in the morning, and they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." Even at his very word, he changed the circumstance. Now, he wasn't just speaking to that fig tree. The fig tree was a symbol of Israel and the law, of the current way things were being done. And the problem was that they were, instead of actually holding to what the law intended, they were actually waiting and holding to the things that were being spoken by man instead. But he said, that system is coming down. By his word, the very demonstration of his power began to be released. And Jesus answered, saying, "Have faith in God. Truly I say that whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you." Believe. You know, sometimes we have to recognize that just allowing words to come from our mouth is not truly prayer. John G. Lake shares this about an Englishman that he traveled with, used to say, and he would say, "Now, let's stop praying for 5 minutes and believe God and see what will happen." In other words, let's stop making mouths at something and actually engage the faith part of it, because then we can see what happens. If we just continue to make mouths at something but don't engage the faith, then we're not making progress. But we can make progress when we engage it with faith. It says, "Now believe, and then it shall be cast in the sea." Verse 25, "And whatever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. But if anyone does not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions." Now I want to ask you something real quick. Is this a salvation issue that they're talking about here? It's not a salvation issue. That forgiveness there has to do with the effectiveness of your prayer. Because why? Because if you look through there, the whole passage is about prayer. And how to pray and how to get answered prayer. What he's saying there is that not forgiving and holding aught is going to be something that hinders that prayer. But it's not a salvation issue. Some people have looked at that and thought, "What am I going to do?" So I just wanted to throw that out. It's time to recognize the trust that God has both placed in us and that we can place in Him. Romans 10, 9 and 10 said what? If you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, it's unto salvation. He didn't say, if you'll do all these works, it's your salvation. He said, it's the power of your mouth that brings you into salvation. Because it brings you into agreement and alignment with who God is and what He is and what He's desiring. So the sum of this is to not underestimate the power of our prayer. To not underestimate the power of our words. When we begin to align our words with God, then something can happen. When we begin to add our words to what God is saying, there's power and authority that's being released. Authority that will change your circumstance. I'm seeing it change ours. I want to encourage you. Your circumstance will bow its knee to the power that's in Christ. Because that power that we're talking about, the authority that we're talking about, it's nothing to do with us. It has to do with Him. Amen.